Amen. Did you ever think about it that when Jesus started his ministry at age 30, there weren't very many people that were expecting him to do so? 30 years earlier, there were a lot of people who knew about his birth. And there were a lot of different types of people and a lot of different reactions. So what we're going to do is consider each one that would have known that Jesus was born and see which one or ones we might relate to. Go to Luke chapter 1. And we start with Zacharias. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Note that he is a priest. Verse 6, speaking of he and his wife, Elizabeth, spelled with an S instead of a Z in the Bible, that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Verse 7, they had no child. They were of a rather advanced age and never had children. Verse 8, he is executing the priest's office before God in the order of his course. There were 24 courses. The year was divided into 24 courses, and so he would serve once a year in a particular course. Verse 9, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot, there would be several priests who would do different duties at this time in this particular course, but his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So he goes into the holy place, not behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies where the mercy seat is, but just in the holy place. And right before the curtain is the altar of incense, and he would go to that altar of incense, as you can see in the picture, and he would burn incense. Now, an angel appears to him. Not something that happens on a regular basis. And he's certainly startled by it. In verse 12, Zacharias saw him and he was troubled and fear fell upon him. And the angel explains to him that he and his wife are going to have a child at an advanced age. Verse 18, Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the result is that he is caused to be unable to speak until his child is born. But when his child is born, then he is able to speak, and he has some very interesting things to say, demonstrating that he really was a true believer. But true believers can be skepticals at times. Sort of like the disciples when Jesus accused them of being, "O ye of little faith." Well, think about the angel. Now, I'm not asking us to relate to the angels. That's a little hard to do, but we have to consider the angels that are involved. The angel Gabriel in verse 11 here of the chapter is the angel of the Lord, and the angel speaks to Zacharias in verse 13. And in verse 19, he identifies himself as the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." Gabriel had the wonderful privilege of standing right in the very presence of the glorious throne of God in heaven. You ever wonder what they're doing up there in heaven? I've been thinking about that a lot more in the last few months since my wife went to heaven. What are they doing? There's a lot of people to talk to. Can you imagine all the Old Testament saints you get a chance to talk to, and the disciples and all of that? Boy, that would take an eternity just to talk to all those people. So you wonder what they're doing up there. But this particular angel had a special privilege. He could stand in the presence of God, and he had the ability to enforce truth to skeptics. He had the ability to tell Zacharias he wasn't going to say a word until the child was born. Next is Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The same angel then is dispatched to speak to Mary in the city of Nazareth, verse 27. She is a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Verse 28, she's highly favored, and the Lord is with her. That's interesting. In the Old Testament, prior to the beginning of the church, the Lord was not always with believers as he is with us today. We have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They did not have that previous to the beginning of the church. But she has this special anointment of the presence of the Lord. The Lord is with thee. And she's blessed among women. She is totally nonplussed by the whole thing, which is speaking well of her. The last thing you would want in the mother of the Christ child is an arrogant young lady that would say, "Of course I'm the one that's being chosen." No, you wouldn't want an attitude like that, would you? She's totally humble in the whole thing. In verse 34 of the chapter, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She's not objecting to it taking place. She just wants to know how he's going to accomplish it. And when he explains to her how that will be, verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And she is totally submissive, humble, pure, and just what you want in the young lady that God would choose for this special task. And of course, the angel Gabriel is the one who speaks to her. And in this case, he explains in verse 35 how the Holy Ghost shall come upon her, and the power of the highest shall overshadow her. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then he declares in verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Mary would have known that her cousin Elizabeth was barren. She would have known that. So to make an impression upon Mary, the angel explains to her in verse 36 that her cousin Elizabeth is already 6 months with child. She would know how old her cousin is and how it should be impossible for her to have a child. Well, if God can do that, he can do this. Then there's Joseph. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband," notice he's called her husband. They have not come together, they're only engaged. But back in those days, if you were engaged, you were hitched. Today, engagement is such a frivolous thing. Young ladies so easily take the ring off and throw it at the man and say, oh, I don't want you anymore, or vice versa, or whatever. No, you had to get a divorce if you were just engaged. And that's what Joseph is thinking about. But you know, he's hesitant. I kind of have an idea that he thinks when he hears that Mary is with child, something just doesn't sound right. So in verse 20, it says he thought on these things. He's trying to understand this. He's processing it. What really is going on here? It doesn't make sense. So the angel comes and talks to him during the night. He's asleep, but it's a real thing. The angel came, explained to him the situation, how Mary had conceived this child of the Holy Spirit. She was not unfaithful to him at all, and it was God's plan, and everything was perfectly all right. And Joseph immediately accepted that because he's a true believer. And it's like, I knew there was something that was connected to this that would make sense of it. And that's it. And notice, he, in verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. He was hesitant to treat her harshly. He preferred to be merciful. But upon hearing the truth, Joseph was willing to cooperate all the way to the birth of the child so that the integrity of this process would be protected. Then there's Elizabeth. In Luke chapter 1, again, remember, we've already noted that she with her husband, which was righteous before God, and she had no children back in those days. That was not a very good thing for a young woman not to have, well, a married young woman not to have a child. Elizabeth was no doubt a little embarrassed about being at the age she was without children. And then when she finds herself with child, that's a whole different story. Verse 25 in Luke chapter 1, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And when Mary came, verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women. And notice that Elizabeth bore no resentment towards Mary whatsoever. Her, Elizabeth's child, was just John the Baptist. Mary's child was Jesus. Elizabeth is the older woman. Mary's just a young lady. No resentment. She was just overjoyed at the blessing God had given to her and overjoyed in the blessing that he'd given to Mary. Then come the angels. Luke chapter 2. Verse 9. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Verse 10. The angel said unto them. Once again, you just wonder what that moment was like. In the stillness of the night, as the angel, as the shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Have you ever been outside on a clear winter night? and the stars are shining brightly. The air is clear. And you're not in the city where all the hubbub is going. You're out in the open air. There's a stillness to it. The quiet. The sheep are probably resting. Not much noise from there. Some of the shepherds may well have been resting and resting their eyes. And suddenly this brightness and this angel speaking to them, it's absolutely amazing. The word angel means messenger. And here are these angels bringing a message to these shepherds. Verse 13 of chapter 2, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Not just one angel, now there's a whole group of them, and the sky is filled with angels, and they're singing this amazing song. The shepherds? Keeping watch over their flock by night? See the angel? What do? When they hear the message? No hesitation, verse 15 of chapter 2, came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." They accepted the message of the angels as real and true and had absolutely no doubt. I suspect that these shepherds were some of those who were actually expecting the Messiah to come. After all, they did keep the sheep that were used as sacrifices in the temple. That was the purpose of the shepherds near Bethlehem. And they came, and they saw the child. There he was, lying in a manger. Newborn infant. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, Mary sitting there, no doubt, perhaps lying down, resting, Joseph watching over them. It made such an impression upon them that in verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Their immediate reaction when the angels appeared was fear, but they had no doubt that the angel's message was true. And they not only saw the fulfillment of the message, they told everyone they met about it. Do you hear that? They told everyone they met about it. Verse 20, all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Wow. Verse 18, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the angels. So here are the people to whom the angels spoke about the birth of Jesus. They wondered about it. This word wonder is less than astonishment. It's much less than amazement. It's different from admiration, and it's not necessarily accompanied by love or esteem. This particular word wonder is something that catches your attention for a moment because of the novelty of a thing. But there's not enough amazement to hold your attention. Did any of these people go to see Jesus? Why not? They're told about him. Don't you think what it says that the shepherds told these people was the same thing that the angel told them? That for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The angels told us that. We went to Bethlehem. We saw exactly what they said. You can go see it. But nobody did. How many people did the shepherds tell? Sounds like quite a few. Not a one of them went to see Jesus. 40 days later, it was time to go to the temple, offer a sacrifice. And when they were in the temple, they came across a man named Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a wonderful promise. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, so the Holy Spirit is in him, with him. So he's a special person in the Old Testament era. And the Holy Spirit indicates to him that he should go into the temple at this particular time. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." So now Simeon knows about Jesus. He's just, he's devout, he's waiting. How many people do you think in that time period were actually waiting for Christ to be born? I mean, let's kind of relate to it in our day. Is Christ coming again? Are we waiting for that? Well, put yourself back before the first coming and just wonder how many believers understood the prophecies of the Old Testament and were living then as we live now, waiting for the Messiah to come. Well, Simeon was one of those. And then there was an elderly lady named Anna, and she knows about Jesus because she comes in and sees what's going on with Simeon. Verse 36, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. So if you add that up, she'd been married for 7 years. She was a widow for 84 years. That's 91 years since she got married. How old was she when she got married? She's over 100 years old. Woo. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She was tireless, over 100 years old, and she's tireless in serving the Lord there in the temple. And she coming in that instant that Simeon was blessing Joseph and Mary and the child, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. How many people did Anna tell about Jesus' birth? There's getting to be a lot of people that know about Jesus being born. Wow. You know, we don't think about that. We think, well, there's Mary and Joseph and Zacharias and Elizabeth and a couple of shepherds. Oh, but these people were telling others. And there is accumulating a huge number of people that have been told that the Messiah is born. Wow. About 2 years later, things have apparently been kind of quiet. Joseph and Mary and Jesus living down in Bethlehem for these 2 years. No indication in Scripture that anybody was paying any attention to them. And suddenly here come these wise men, and we don't know how many there were. I know the tradition of three, and we sing the song, "We Three Kings of Orient," but we don't know. One tradition says there were 12 of them. Could be. Who knows? Maybe there was only three. But the thing is, they came. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now if you think about it, when did they see the star? 2 years before. How do we know? Because that's what King Herod had asked about, and that's what they told him. They come announcing that the Messiah of Israel has been born, and they're looking for him. And so they have an audience with King Herod, and King Herod, why? Talks to them and gets the scribes and the priests, and they tell him they knew where Jesus would be born. They tell him he's born in Bethlehem, and King Herod says, "Oh, go and worship him. Come back and tell me, because I want to worship him too." Only his idea of worship was entirely different than the wise men's idea of worship. And so in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 2, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. How they knew it was his star, I don't know. That's a whole different sermon. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. Can you imagine? They've been living in this house for a couple of years. Jesus, just this little toddler. I doubt a normal 2-year-old toddler. Simple home. This entourage of important people from 1,000 miles away come into this house and bow down to this little boy and give him these expensive gifts. Can you imagine? What is Mary thinking? Well, she pondered it and kept it in her heart. It's truly amazing. You know the buzz that took place in Jerusalem when those wise men showed up? Matthew chapter 2 and verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. It appears that all the thousands of people that lived in the city of Jerusalem heard that the Messiah had been born, and it bothered them. Now how many people know that Jesus has been born? The number constantly increases. Well, King Herod, of course, we've noted, he's heard about it. He's troubled. And he wants to know, where is he? Because, you see, King Herod is not a nice man. He's been a king for quite some time. He became king way back around 30 BC. In 29 BC, he executed his wife and his mother-in-law because they had made overtures of getting rid of him and taking over the throne. Or at least, he suspected so. In 28 BC, he executed his brother-in-law. In 7 BC, he executed two of his own sons. In 4 BC, he executed a third son. He was married 10 times and had 9 sons and 5 daughters. And he didn't like to hear that a rival king had been born. He was willing to trick the wise men so that he could find out where he was. And he was willing to kill multiple children who were totally innocent just to make sure he had eliminated another rival. What about the chief priests and the scribes? You know, when the wise men came, wanted to know where the Messiah was born. King Herod calls upon the chief priests and the scribes. They knew. Now they've been informed. Well, these are the chief priests. They're the scribes. They have been informed now that the Messiah is born. Did they go to Bethlehem? No. Think about those whom Herod sent to kill the children. What kind of a person does it take to kill innocent children? We have a lot of those today. And in the same verse, Matthew 2, verse 16, think about the children that died. It is my belief that they were immediately welcomed into heaven. And then think about the mothers who wept. Matthew chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not." So out of all of these folks, with whom do we identify? Zacharias, a very religious person who is not ready to be shocked out of tradition by the miraculous. Or Mary, someone so highly favored with God that God might choose you to participate in the miraculous. Think about that. Or Elizabeth, an older person who is so thrilled with God's blessings that she can rejoice in the greater blessings of someone much younger. Can you relate to Joseph, a person who is ready to obey God immediately upon hearing the truth? Maybe you're a shepherd, one of those who are ready to believe the declaration of the miraculous in a hurry to witness it for themselves and unable to contain themselves, being compelled to tell others about it. Hopefully you're not like the people who heard the shepherd's testimony, someone who is excited about the report of some novel thing, but not enough to investigate it for yourself. Could you be a Simeon, someone waiting for God's blessing to come and satisfied when it does? Could you be an Anna, someone untiring in your service for God in spite of your age, vocal to the end about your faith? Could you be a wise man or a wise woman? Someone willing to make great sacrifice of time and resources to do the simplest things for the King of Kings. Hopefully you're not like the people of Jerusalem who were troubled that the King of Kings might intrude into their lives. Or like King Herod, someone who was determined to make sure the King of Kings doesn't intrude into his life. Hopefully you're not like the chief priests and scribes, someone who knows the truth and doesn't pursue it because of the impact it might have on your life. Hopefully you're not like those who killed the children, someone who uncaringly attacks innocent people. You might not be able to help this at some point in your life, being a victim of those who are willing to defy God. Or consider the mothers who lost their children, those who are helpless to stop the wickedness. So some of these you can't help being if you're called upon to be a victim or a helpless bystander. But otherwise, who would you prefer to be? You do have a choice. While you breathe here on earth, it's not too late to make a better choice. Don't be a Zacharias. I know he was a believer, but you don't want to be a skeptic. Don't be one who hears the truth but doesn't care. Don't be one who is troubled when hearing the truth. Don't be a King Herod or a chief priest or a scribe who want nothing to do with the truth. Be a Mary. Be an Elizabeth. Be a shepherd. Be a Simeon. Be an Anna. Be a wise man. Think about all the people that knew the Messiah was born. And how few cared. I suppose we could compare that to what's going on today. We're celebrating Christmas. How many really care that it's about Jesus? I hope we do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the record of those who truly believed. Thank you for their testimony and their example. And I pray that you would help each of us to follow their example, to hear the truth, believe the truth, and pursue the truth, so that the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ can have its maximum effect upon our lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.